One of the sessions, of course, is this one here, the state of the annuity industry. And I think when we think about variable annuities in particular over the last 18 months or so especially, I don't think there's a single product that is available on our platforms that has been through as much change and has seen changes in products, some carriers exiting the product class altogether. So a lot of things for us to consider, a lot of things for us to deal with. So we've got some key questions that I think we're gonna answer in this session in terms of where have we been and where are we going. And I don't think anybody in the industry is better positioned to answer these questions than Kathy Weatherford, who's with us today. She is the president and CEO of the Insured Retirement Institute, formerly known as NAVA. So I think we're in for a lot of great information here today. Do want to remind everybody that this session is CE eligible. There's one credit hour, and so in order to qualify for that, do fill out the evaluation sheet. Even if you aren't applying for the CE, the information that you put on here is very valuable to us. So I won't take up any more of Kathy's time. So let me introduce to you Kathy Weatherford.
It's down to my height there. Well, it's a real pleasure to be here today, and it's a real pleasure to be at the Financial Services Institute's Broker-Dealer Conference. I work very closely with Dale Brown and his staff. They're doing a wonderful job for you, and Dale is actually going to office out of the Insured Retirement Institute's offices for a few weeks as he searches for Washington, D.C. home for the FSI. So it has been my privilege to work closely with FSI, and I was very pleased to be invited here today to talk about the state of the annuity industry, plus some crossover and talk about the new thinking about retirement planning in this new post-crisis environment, and tell you what a lot of our research is telling us these days about consumers and investors in this post-crisis world. As he said when he introduced me, I somewhat feel like the artist formerly known as Prince. Everyone says, used to be known as NAVA. We changed our name about 6 months ago to embrace the new product mix, the new way of thinking about retirement, retirement planning when it comes to using insured product strategies. And a lot of reasons brought us to that name. And, first of all, was really, the meltdown. The meltdown was an opportunity for us to do a lot of introspection and figure out where we wanted to go in the future as an industry around annuities. And we thought that variable annuity tag was way too limiting for where this industry is heading. And we wanted to be nimble enough to be able to respond to an ever-evolving industry and product mix for America. I think another important factor that we factored in there was 75 million baby boomers are planning for preparing for or entering retirement years, and it will be the greatest entrance into that phase ever in the history of this nation. And it is very, very important for us to be there for them as they plan for and live in retirement. And then thirdly, it's just the new strategies that came out as a result of the meltdown. I believe the insurance industry withstood the economic meltdown better than any other part of the financial services sector, and I will get to that in a minute, and I believe that I can speak to that. I spent 32 years as an insurance regulator or working with insurance regulators, and so insurer solvency has always been near and dear to my heart because I believe that is the core of consumer protection, is making sure you have a viable industry who are going to be providing insurance products that have to be there for their consumer investors 10, 20, or 30 years into the future. And the insurance industry fared very well as a result of the laws, rules, and regulations around their financials. So we have been working to adopt to the changing times. And so what happened, I think last year was investors got a true wake-up call. Investors had expectations, demands, wishes, wants of returns in their financial portfolios, in their strategies for building and accumulating wealth of 10, 15, 20% returns. They believed that, whatever was, they were looking at the number that came in their statements, and as long as that number was a large number, they were happy and pleased. The meltdown brought around a huge wake-up call when those numbers had negative numbers in front of them, when their portfolios had dropped significantly in values, it's really changed the mindset of investors. And so all of us have had to be nimble, agile, collaborative with our investors, collaborative with those people that we use their products to build these portfolios going to the future. And we've had to work hard to preserve our own integrity as we work with our investors to keep them solid, sound, thoughtful in going forward ways. So there is a new reality around a retirement planning as a result. And our consumer research, I really like consumer-facing research. I like to know what's on people's minds, and you have to test them often because Americans change their minds quite often. We live in the moment. We don't think in the long haul, and so you have to continually monitor and take their temperature. But some of the things that we have been looking at and finding out about investors' attitudes is that they become much more risk-averse, first of all, but they're also becoming much more thoughtful about their retirements. They're becoming much more thoughtful about planning for and figuring out how they're going to live in retirement. And I think the most important thing, and some of our research has told us, they're looking for guaranteed income in retirement. When they looked at those portfolios and they had shrunk by 40%, it was a very scary and frightening feeling, and you all were on the front lines, and so nobody understands it better than you do. But it has certainly changed them, and they're a lot more skeptical, I believe, in dealing with their portfolios. Another thing that, that in talking to consumers is that many of them don't feel that Social Security is going to be there for them, or may not be there to the extent that they thought 10, 20 years ago. And we're all seeing in the newspapers, and we're seeing the statistics coming out of the agencies of the federal government telling us that Social Security reserves are diminishing and headed towards insolvency much sooner than anticipated ever before. And probably one of the most shocking things that we saw happen this fall was, for the first time ever since the United States government began giving COLAs to Social Security recipients, there is no COLA in 2010. So another part of the wake-up call. You know, the other thing that has happened is that, pensions have changed in America dramatically. We have gone from the defined benefit plan to defined contribution plans, and we have even gone to a place where some companies have dropped employer-based pension plans, or whatever pension they have, and they're not getting their matches the way they were. So, you know, people can't rely on what they relied on in the past to build their retirement. Coupling and all of that with the fact that Americans are living longer, and every 5 years we're going to see the new studies that say we're living longer, and so we don't even know what our end of life probabilities are for 5 years from now or 10 years to now. But we do know that they will be longer because medical advances, everything is moving so quickly that the expectation for how long we will live is just growing exponentially every day. And I think one of the things that also has come about as a result of all of what's happened in the last 18 months is that accumulation of assets is only half of the equation, especially when they diminished overnight, literally. People saw that, yes, they had done a good job of trying to save many people, but that's only really half of the equation when it comes to then in what happens in retirement. They thought they had built their accumulated wealth to live in retirement. It disappeared on them overnight. So now they're looking at more of what is it going to take into retirement, and how do I know what I am going to be living on every month to the end of life, and how do I make sure that I don't outlive the savings or wealth that I have accumulated. The other thing that I think is where a wake-up call and the bell went off is for the administration. We have got a number of proposals that are out there these days from last year that have come forth. One is, now we all know that we have the ability to use Roth in a new way to help Americans have a Roth, a much more robust Roth than ever before with the conversion. And also we have the administration has floated two proposals around annuitization in the past year. First of all, the Department of Labor is getting ready to issue an RFP to look at how do you place an annuity as a payout option out of employer-based or qualified plans. Because beyond Social Security, an annuity is the only way that you can guarantee income for life. So that is getting ready, has come to fore with at Department of Labor. Then you have sort of, I call the front end load, is that Mark Erie, who has a 20-year record of doing a tremendous amount of research, he was in the Clinton administration, then he went to Brookings, has come back into the administration as the deputy secretary at Treasury, working on the auto annuitization proposal, where there is automatically enrollment of a portion of the money you would put into your retirement accounts through your employer-qualified plan would automatically go into an annuity. So back-end piece for annuities coming out of Department of Labor for qualified plans, front-end loading of an annuity, auto loading of an annuity at Treasury. So I think what that tells us is that the administration realizes that if they don't do something or many things to help these baby boomers, that we could have an entire generation of elderly poor in America. And so you have those two things going on. Tomorrow night at the President's State of the Union, the President of the United States will promote annuities in his State of the Union. presentation. We have already gotten an embargoed copy of it. But now, devil in the details where that promotion of annuities may go. But let me tell you what's most important about the administration talking about the use of annuities to have guaranteed income for life. They may provide additional incentives, tax incentives for annuities. They may be doing tax credits. I don't know what all they're going to put around this. But what I do know from past history, when the government, and nobody likes the government intruding in our lives any more than they already are, and we're all battling away some of the financial services reform. But one thing I do know, when the United States government begins talking about a financial product, Americans listen. We know that with 401k, we know that with IRAs, we know that with financial instruments, saving instruments that the government has touted or supported or talked about in the past, Medicare supplement insurance, those types of things. We know that they become greater adopted by Americans because for some reason, Americans will listen when government does talk about it. But I think that it is probably going to be one of the key things that is happening with this administration over the course of 2010, and that's going to be ongoing discussion, talk, and promotion of annuities in retirement portfolio. So that explains how things are different from where they were pre-meltdown. We have done some research with AARP about 6 months ago talking about baby boomers and, you know, what this is a much, I just called out three pieces of this research for you to look at, but there are 77 million baby boomers in America, and 33% of them through this AARP wide set of research said they haven't even thought about retirement and they're lacking any retirement savings. So we know that there is tremendous need there. I saw in USA Today I think this was just 2 or 3 days ago, where, you know, in the little box on USA Today, they always have some little data piece or something, you know, with the bar on it. This is was in the USA Today a few days. It says, when do you expect to recover losses in your retirement savings that you lost in the past year? By 2010, 4% said they thought by the end of 2010 they might recover. 2 to 5 years more beyond 2010, 32% think they will recover. 24% said it'll take 6 or more years to recover. 10% think they will never recover what they lost. And 23% said they have no savings for retirement. So we still have a huge segment of these baby boomers out there who have not even begun planning for retirement, who are a huge opportunity for all of us to work with to help them build some type of retirement savings. I thought this was very interesting. Baby boomers, more than any generation before them, shop around. 6 in 10 say that they don't think it pays for them to be brand loyal. They will go shop for a Chevrolet or a Ford or a Chrysler or a foreign car. They don't, just because I drove a Ford doesn't mean I'm going to go back to the Ford dealership. I will look around. I'm looking for price. I'm looking for, the best deal. They will change from Kraft to, Sargento cheese, and they will change from, Cheerios to cornflakes. They have very little loyalty, but what they do have loyalty to, and it speaks well to the financial planning and the financial services sector, is that they are loyal to their financial services firm. That is the one place where they don't move. So they develop the relationship with you. They're likely to stay with you, and I think that what that means is that there's been good collaboration, there's been good communication, there is a high level of trust built between the financial planner, the advisor, and that investor consumer, and it keeps the engagement there. So it is truly relevant that the baby boomer generation is as important to us as an industry, but they're important to America because this is going to impact all of us. If we don't work and use this opportunity to help these people have a financially secure retirement, they're going to be our burden as elderly poor. We did some market research in December, as we know that there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines. People have pulled out completely out of the markets, and so we took a poll and asked some questions, and we tried to hit seniors over 60. And 6 of 10 of them told us that they're not investing in the stock market now or ever again. Not now or ever again. 40% said that they've totally lost faith and they want a less risky investment option. I think that that's also tells us that there's tremendous opportunity out here to sit down with our investors and our consumers, to work with them to, you know, provide guidance, help, support, advice, hand-holding, and strategies to help them meet this new belief that they have about where they want their money going forward and into the future. Another thing that we did was a live consumer-facing research where we put 12 investors on a stage at our annual meeting. And 24 investors. 12 were 50 to 59. 12 were 59 to 69. Every one of them had an annuity somewhere in their portfolio, and all were invested. Used a financial advisor. Half were working. Half were already retired, and all had a diversified portfolio mix or invested in the market. We used Luntz Maslansky Strategic Research. Michael Maslansky has a book that's getting ready to come out in a couple of months, but he did a lot of the work with Van Kampen. It's called The New Word Order, where what words work with consumers and what. And so Michael did this research for us. But, what they told us, all we had was their first names, and they used the dial-up. You know, you see it on CNN when the presidential debates, and, you know, they dial up and they say what they like or don't like, and it's aggregated on a screen. So that's how we were able to see what they were thinking. They said that they used to look forward to retirement, and now they're worried. They're worried whether they'll ever, you know, that they have to go back to work. They worried whether they have enough money to live to the end of life was one of the most important things that they... And, of course, they said that they believed at that point in time the investments only had one way to go, and that was up. I mean, truly pessimistic about their investments, pessimistic about the market, and downright angry. Angry people who want a return to security. And so what ultimately we find there is not just the crisis of money or the loss of a portfolio, it's a crisis of confidence. Where they are today and where they might be into the future, it's very questionable to them. And, you know, trust is at an all-time low. And so, you know, as Michael says, the dream is dead and long live realism as we move forward with these baby boomers. And one of the things he says, you know, as we work our way through all of the research that we did is that, talk to your investors, talk to your clients you plan long term, but you got to talk to them about today, tomorrow, next week, and next year. Because the short term, where I am today, is more important to them right now than where am I going to be in 20 years. So you have to, but you have to keep them planning for the long haul, but you've got to talk change your talk. And, you know, they love frugality these days. I mean, frugality is everything. They're, you know, what we heard from all of the consumers that we did, all of this investors we did this research with, they're not eating out. They're not going to the movies. They're not going on vacation. They're not, allowing themselves the luxuries that they did in the past. And, you know, one of the things that we heard from them is that they're not really all that totally conservative, but they're not aggressive, and they want a happy medium. They want much more collaborative effort and work with their advisors as they go forward. They also felt like that they learned that what they had, that there is fear of the future. What they found, saw in the past, they don't necessarily believe that's any kind of predictor going forward. So I think that what we learned from that is what they're thinking, you know, what investors and where they are now is that, it's that they are, they've been shattered. Their confidence is gone. Their trust is gone. And they're looking for greater collaboration and partnership and conversation and a much more collaborative role in going forward. Now, the other thing that I think around the annuity industry that we have found is that pre-crisis, I had lots of conversations with consumer financial reporters. I had lots of conversations with Wall Street Journal and a number of other, and they really had a lot of negative perceptions around the use of annuities in retirement portfolios. They thought fees were high. They thought that they were way too complex, that they didn't serve investors well as, a more limited scope of investment. Now, what's happened as we've gone through this crisis is that the guarantees that were embedded in variable annuities held up better than anything in the crisis, and that actually the reporting community, the regulatory communities, and those investors that held variable annuities and or used immediate annuities or fixed annuities in their portfolios saw their clients have a much better feel about their entire portfolio through the crisis because they had the guarantees, they had something that was solid, secure, that held them up through it. So what we've seen now in the past 6 months from the press, who pre-crisis derided all of the annuity products, have totally changed their minds. And, you know, the motley fool who I thought would never change their view of the world, I'm quoting from their column in October of 2009. It says, this much-hated investment, and they're speaking about variable annuities there, could actually help you. That was the headline of their, and go on to tell about how important the VA was and how VA investors slept very well at night, while insurers probably, insurance company executives probably didn't sleep as well during the crisis. The investors sure slept well. The Wall Street Journal, this is Leslie Schism who wrote this, and Leslie I met with Leslie many times before the meltdown. I mean, Leslie has totally changed her mind and said, gee, I get it, there was a transfer of risk, and there has to be a cost to transfer of risk. There was the guarantees and the cost of the guarantees proved out to her that it was very much like an auto policy or a homeowner's policy, and you live in Tornado Alley or you live in a hurricane-prone area, you paid to protect your home and your automobiles, and there was a cost to that protection. And when the crisis came and your home's gone and your car's gone, that you were made whole again or you were kept whole as a result of those crises. And, gee, there is a cost to that. So she has totally changed her tune on it, too. The other thing that I think we saw whilst the Washington Post in July of 2009 is that, you know, we know immediate annuities have become one of the most important things that investors are using now because they want that guaranteed income. They want that paycheck that's going to come every month from now on. So we saw the we've seen that total change of heart. And then Investment News, January of 2010, said, you know, sort of everything old is new again. Immediate annuities and whole life are, you know, gaining favor again because, you know, insurance and, you know, having that protection, so you get the guarantees, you get the transfer of your risk, and insurance products are what generate lifelong income. So we're seeing totally changed attitudes from investors, from advisors who did not sell the products in the past, to the media, and now to a presidential administration. So I think that the time is now and the opportunity is now for this product. Only besides Social Security or a defined benefit plan that provides you guaranteed income for life. One of the things that IRI put together, or this is just our pyramid that we talk about, is what does a person need to build towards retirement? And the true reality is that the true foundation down there is guaranteed income. You know, having those guarantees and having the protections of and building that foundation through the use of Social Security, which we know is diminishing, but it's still there. It's still a piece of the guaranteed income puzzle. That the pension or the defined benefit plan or using the pension as a basis and annuities. And then you move up for a long term, you move up the pyramid to your long term assets, and that's, you know, your real estate, your home, your 401ks, your IRAs, and other annuities that you might use up there. Those are sort of one or the other, I think. But and then you move up and how do you use insurance then to protect those, that foundation down there. You know, life insurance and your health insurance and, you know, long-term care insurance is your asset protection. So you've built your foundation down below there and you can use those insurance products to help protect that. And then you have Medicare, which is a form of insurance and health care as you move into retirement. And then finally, at the top of the pyramid is where the more risky types of instruments are used to build, and this is strictly for retirement planning, for those people who are looking for safety and security in retirement to get to the finish line, to be sure that they have what they need on a month-to-month basis to end of life, that this is the pyramid that will get you there. Now, here's where I get to my past history as an insurance regulator, where I can talk to you about the life insurance industry and how they held up throughout the crisis, and why I believe that, one more time, everything old is new again, and life insurers are a premier industry right now in providing the products and goods and services that Americans moving into retirement need. They provided unparalleled protections for the consumers who were holding their products throughout this crisis. Not one annuity missed a payment throughout this crisis. Not one annuity missed a payment. So anyone who had already annuitized was getting their monthly paycheck. Nobody ever missed a payment. I think that that speaks well, considering the closure of some of the largest, finest names in the financial services sector and the number of banks that closed over the past 18 months and will continue to close in 2010, is that we have a provider of these products that are very, very secure financially. Yes, the guarantees presented Insurance companies with headaches and heartaches as they made good on the guarantees, but the point is they made good on their guarantees. And they held up, and it, I think, provided a lot of good night's sleep for those people holding annuities, life insurance policies, and insurance products throughout this crisis. Insurance companies are regulated much differently than banks, much differently than any other part of the financial services sector. They have the most stringent laws with regard to investments. So they have, only 10% of any of their money can be held in any single class of assets. So that kept them strong, very diversified in their holdings. Secondly, they report on what's called statutory accounting basis, very different than GAAP, and it is called an as-liquidated basis, which is very, very conservative. So no risky investment ever gets to admitted assets on the books of an insurance company. So the investments of insurance companies are rock solid day in, day out. They are, they did not perform at the levels those that were using much riskier instruments that brought some of the biggest financial services companies in America to failure, and it held up and worked very well for them. Now, for all of these 150 years, they have not enjoyed the return on an investment that some of those other unregulated or less regulated entities received, but it held up well for them and got them through a crisis. They must reserve against every liability or every policy or every guarantee. And so the money is there to be sure that whether a policyholder has to be paid in 5 years or 10 years or 20 or 30 years, that money, those are all reserved against, and the money is there in the company ready for that policyholders. So it's I believe that insurance companies are probably weathered the disaster better than anyone, and have come out of it now on the other side better. And yes, we're starting to see an evolution and change of products, and I'll go to that now. But it speaks to the stability and the long-term stability and the confidence that you can have when you advise clients to use insurance products in their portfolio. And, you know, the insurance industry, I think, has been quite innovative as a result of the change and how we're moving forward in that. We spent 10 years building guaranteed living benefits and ever more robust in the variable annuity side, and ever more complex. Now we are seeing, a new generation and a new phase. I just used a couple of our members' information here, but if anybody is, any other of my companies are in here who have a new product out, I'd like to hear, we'll stop and hear, you know, a little bit about some of the new things you're doing. But you know, there's new living benefit riders now that are out, that many of them have been de-risked to make sure that should we ever face this again, then the hedging, the management of that risk has been done in an even better fashion that will hold this industry up and thus hold their policyholders up, their contract holders up even better if we go through this again. There has been tremendous product development in 2009, and it's ongoing into 2010. The products have also become, I believe, a bit simpler, easier to understand, easier to communicate to a client, and easier to work with and place into retirement portfolios, and then but they still meet a consumer's needs and going forward. I just put these up at AXA. Sun Life have the new retool living benefit riders that they have introduced, much more using different fund types, less risk, you know, using new methods there. And we have some information at IRI on some of these. Hancock has the new annuity note, gives you some market participation, but you still have steady, sustainable income with guarantees in them that will, you know, sustain a client throughout life. And then, you know, we're starting to see real consumer tools being built by a number of our companies. We have, you know, we all are familiar with the Prudential Retirement Ready Zone. AXA has just come out with Cracking the Code, which is a curriculum for financial planning professionals to help them look at the broad holistic view of building a retirement portfolio. So is anybody in here from Nationwide or any of the other? Okay, Nationwide? What's Nationwide? Tell me a little bit about.
We have
RetireSense. Okay. So,
which is a tool for retirement.
So Nationwide's new Retirement Sense available on your website when they come through. Any other company in here that I didn't mention that has some of the new tools that you have? But the companies have been probably, I think, in the most innovative mode in a long time to build good tools for advisors and good products for investors as we go through. And if there was a code word for 2009 when it came to the annuity industry, it's called simplicity. I think that in a lot of conversations I've had with advisors and in the financial planning experts, that sometimes they didn't use annuities or variable annuities in portfolios because it was complex. They were complex. You had to spend a great deal of time learning the product. You had to go through an extensive application process. And so now my belief is that, I come from a consumer background, the opportunity to have a conversation with your client and use the application for an annuity and go through the suitability process for annuity is one of the great opportunities that an advisor has to work with and update a client portfolio. And meaning the information that you have on your client, because you get to have a strong and robust conversation about where you are, what changes have been made in your life, why are you using this product. So when you go through all of that, I think that many times you learn more about your client than you knew the day before you sat down and worked with your client using an annuity. So I think that they provide tremendous opportunity to learn and get acquainted and know your clients better at a point in time that you're talking about that retirement portfolio. We saw, and this is a data that we picked up on product development. This is in May, 126 prospectus filings made to the SEC. So we know that from November of 2008 all the way up to May of 2009, where it was the most robust filings. So we're having all of those rolled out into the marketplace end of last 6 months, and we're still seeing some new product and product innovation. So you're going to, but I think we're stabilized now. As you can see, the peak month was May, and now those are rolling into the marketplace. And this is the VA information. But your new products are out there. Your tools that the companies are providing for you are available to work with your clients on these, and we have tremendous opportunity using these going forward. So I guess, you know, my message to you here and is that I think you have innovative products now to work with your clients, whether using an immediate annuity when they're ready to go into retirement, using fixed annuities if that's where their comfort zone is, or using the variable annuity with the new benefits and the new riders that are out there, that you also have the opportunity to, respond to your investor needs for guaranteed lifetime income using these products in their retirement portfolios. As I said, that there's tremendous opportunity with these 75 million baby boomers who have a new attitudes about what they want and what they need in retirement. A few things that we're doing at IRI is that we are working with the SEC to build a summary prospectus for the variable annuity. And we are very hopeful that we will be working with the SEC and that they will adopt a summary prospectus for variable annuities in 2010. We saw them in end of 2008 adopt the summary prospectus for mutual funds. We've been working with them since then to bring about a summary prospectus for the VAs. We think that that will greatly enhance working with clients to have robust transparency in a 7 or 8 page document as opposed to the 125 page summary prospectus that is daunting for each and every one of us. So that's a big issue for us. We also believe that the reason we will see that in 2010 is that if the administration is talking about and promoting annuities as a part of their administration's proposals, is that how do you make it more consumer friendly, and that's through the use of a summary prospectus for the variable annuity. And then as I already talked to you about the annuities and the use in qualified plans with the Department of Labor proposal and with the Treasury proposal, so be watching for those. We have STP, which is the straight-through processing standards that we're working with many broker-dealers and our insurance carriers, which allow electronic transmission of all documentation with relation to an annuity. So that you go from desktop, advisor desktop with e-application, e-signature, suitability review, S2821 review, everything goes straight then to the insurance carrier and back down the chain again, all electronically using a set of standards to where it becomes much easier for the advisor and the consumer. It becomes much better for insurance carriers to have in good order applications and good suitability review and oversight that so that everybody, it's a win-win-win up and down the road. The optional federal charter for insurance companies, would be the opportunity for the insurance industry to look to be regulated, since the products, the variable annuity products, are already regulated by the SEC, that they could look to a federal regulator for the rest of their business oversight, so which we believe could reduce costs for the industry tremendously. So those are four of the things we're advocating and working on right now. And, our members are the insurance carriers, asset management firms, broker-dealers, wirehouses, banks, all of the distribution channels, and then a lot of solution providers who work with us to do research, to build these electronic tools. We want to help be a partner to our advisors through any type of affiliation you have with one of our broker-dealer bank wirehouse members. We know your independents, LPL and Pershing, are both members of ours, and we know many of you work through them for clearing, and so you would have access to membership through IRI through those affiliations. But We are doing proprietary research now. We're building out a better annuity fact book that will have a significant amount of market research with regard to annuities. We have strategically aligned with someone who's been collecting annuity research for 30 years from a consumer base. So we will be able to include that in the fact book. So you'll not only get industry information with regard to data statistics and research and facts with regard to products, companies, and the activities in the industry, but we'll also be building out consumer. We do regular updates on regulatory and legislative outlooks. We are getting ready to put insurance education piece on our website, and then we've built out a number of key partnerships with other sister organizations. So, you know, we believe the space we want to be in is best practices, thought leadership, and just overall leadership in the annuity industry to help support our members, but to also help support the advisor and the investor consumer as they work together to build a strong, robust, sound retirement plan that gets everybody to the finish line in retirement. So one of the, as I talked to you earlier, the changing view of the media, we have been working very hard to put our voice out into the media so that good, factual, objective information about our industry, the products, and the good that they serve are made aware. So these are many of the key relationships that we have built with media to make sure that we get good information, facts out to those folks that are working with clients or with consumers. And that's the folks that do a lot of our work for us at IRI. We work very closely with FSI. We know that they are doing a great job for you, and we just want to help on that insurance strategies piece where we can to make sure that advisors have every tool, everything that they need beyond what they're getting from the carriers as they build out these great tools too. So we want to provide and be a supplement to that. And if you'll leave your business card with me, I'd be happy to put you in our database, and you'd start receiving a number of the information that we do. We do a Insured Retirement Insight, which is an 8-page newsletter providing best practices, tips, tools, and trends, research on the industry, on products, on consumer attitudes. So you would begin getting that. And then we do an e-newswire every 2 weeks that provides an overview of everything that's going on in the media with regard to annuities. And then we do another once-a-month newsletter that really updates you on what our companies and members are doing with regard to product innovations and their efforts in working to build retirements for millions of Americans. So with that, I'll close and I'll start taking questions, and we have about 15 more minutes for Q&A. Yes, sir.
Catherine, thanks for your question. You mentioned in one of the slides, proprietary research. Can
you
expand on that a little bit?
Yes. We are looking to be able to have our research, whether we do it on our own, we partner with others that do that are we're partnering with Cerulli this year on, I think, 10 pieces of research. We're partnering with Morningstar. We're partnering with Beacons Research. We're partnering with Advanced Sales. We're partnering. So we have some, and I can go on it. Strategic Business Insights, who does the 30-year trending on market information with regard to annuities. And then we're doing direct consumer-facing research on our own. We are doing direct industry research. And then we are doing advisor research all around only the insured retirement space. And around some of, as I said, just some of the retirement planning questions. As I said, that the, as I showed you the one we did in December where it was going to consumers who we knew had their money in checking accounts, savings accounts, and CDs, and said, why are you on the sidelines? And so we're trying to do more of that to be able to give our members and advisors tools, information, trends, tips, to be able to have conversations with their clients as these clients demand a more collaborative approach and want to be more involved in building their retirement portfolios. Right.
Employee has automatic deferrals, 2%, 6%, 10%. If they use annuities, and I could see immediate annuities, but from a variable annuity, I think it's a powerful story. The question I have from the carriers, I'm wondering if IRIs talk to them, when you transfer the, if the VA is owned inside the 401k, and then the VA, upon termination or whatever you roll out, there's technically an ownership change from the 401k entity to the IRA. The way that the annuity contracts are written is that the benefit base, the rider base, resets with the ownership change. Clearly, that's the value added of the annuity of living benefits. When I talk to the companies, they have a like a current practice is to honor, because it's more of a spirit versus the letter of the law ownership change. But have any of the companies in IRI's experience put a more of a contractual obligation on themselves not to just say, this is what we do currently? From a broker-dealer perspective, that's a lot of liability that put these in the products and say, well, this is what they're doing, and in 20 years it may or may not work that way. I'm just right. curious.
Does any carrier want to respond to that? Because that's really in a qualified side of the house, I think. But I will tell you that you hit the key word, and Treasury already understands that, and that's liability. And so what we think before you'll see product changes or the ability to use these strategies is that first round we're seeing the president talk about using annuities to get guaranteed lifetime income. So that's going to be a big, just broad, bold statement in his State of the Union. Now you got the, you know, to move to what, okay, so the other two things that we want to do through using qualified plans is the back end, so taking what you built in a pension plan, being able to move that into an annuity, or doing the auto annuitization as part of, like, as you were saying, is that I think everybody understands that laws and rules and regulations will have to change at DOL to be sure that the liability is minimized, because employers, carriers, planners are not going to move into this realm until that big L word is removed from the equation, and that's going to require laws, rules, and regulation changes. So that we're just at step one, and now I think but if it were me, and what I plan to do is that I'm going to seize the moment. The President of the United States is talking about the use of annuities to build guaranteed income in retirement. It is the only other guaranteed lifetime payment you can receive other than Social Security, or if you happen to be one of us who started a long time ago and got a DB plan, that the annuity is the only way that you can ever get there. I think that is the seize the moment. We'll work about all those hundreds of devils that are going to end up in those details as we move forward. But I think that's the most important. I put out 5 tips for using an annuity in your retirement portfolio today as a, you know, since I know the president's going to say it tomorrow night, I've already got that in every consumer reporter's hand in America in hopes that those tips get into publications all across America. So I believe once you hear annuities talked about on an ongoing and frequent basis, instead of annuities being sold to millions of Americans are going to come to you and ask for an annuity. But I think on the qualified piece, there's a long ways to go till we get there. Brad. Well, I think that I think everybody's trying to be innovative as they look at 75 million baby boomers, and we saw this data I put up there is one third of them haven't put a dollar away for retirement. So I think that people are trying to be innovative to figure out how it is you can build lifetime income. I've also seen a new product that uses laddered bonds with a insurance company annuity wrapped around it. So there is product innovation that's going to happen. Some of it's going to be adopted and some by consumers and advisors, and some of it's not. So I think we've got to wait and see. But I got to tell you, I think that, you know, from my view of the world and investors that I talk to, is the loss of their portfolios, using something synthetic, and right now there's a crisis of confidence. And as I also said, everything old is new again. So insurance companies and the insurance products with the guarantees, with the commitments, and with the transference of risks that are given to the consumer in those, everything old is new again, and it is what Americans are looking for. And these are the companies that have been doing it for 150 years. Other questions, other comments? Well, yes, sir.
I have two questions.
Yeah, you can have two questions. You can have three if you want.
I wonder, IRA's role of working with FINRA, we found that at our broker-dealer, and I understand the motives behind it, especially in everything we've talked about the last 2 days, there's a limitation in what you can do that's defined in that market of the product, and some of it is almost restrictive to that. You're actually hurting consumers because there is a powerful message, but at the same time, they are very, they just seem to have a strong emphasis on not even using the term guaranteed income because it's not guaranteed, because it's not mentioned, it's on claims bankability. Those are things that I find balancing that role with my compliance department sales means that it's difficult. I wonder.
Well, I have been working very closely with FINRA to help change some of their views and attitudes, and developing partnerships and relationships with them. So a lot of the things that I have been building or using that are consumer-facing, that advisor, I go and get them cleared through FINRA first. So it gives you a third-party branded FINRA. So I've been trying to do that. I'm partnering with them and trying to get them in the space where they are taking some of their old views away. We're talking about the perceptions that are changing. They're beginning to change some of their perceptions. I've partnered with them, and I provide all of their podcasts free on my website. So all FINRA podcasts are also accessible through my website. Partnering with them to deliver FINRA education through our member site. And we're also clearing consumer pamphlets, any kind of one-pager that I can use so that I can't. But I'm not having as much trouble and I think it's an evolutionary, but I've been getting FINRA cleared clearance on using guaranteed income. And I think, you know, when you go back to this, I go back to the, you know, the president talking about the use of annuities, I think that you're also going, you know, as part of that is that what we've seen in the past, too, when it became to other insurance products and partnering when I was a regulator, is that they tend to, the way the United States government tends to, is that they end up and will have a preferred list or a list of insurance companies or providers of, and I look to like Medicare supplement and long-term care and some of those products where the government has some of those, you know, so we may start seeing some of that. But we've got to get them over some of those prior feelings from the past, but we'll get there. All right, I think we got through long enough that you got your 1 hour, and we can call it a day. And thank you for coming to my panel here, or my presentation. And like I said, if you want to receive stuff from IRI, we would just leave me your business card, and we'll put you in the database, and we'll make sure that you start receiving the free information that we have for you. So thank you very much, and have a great conference.